ever miss a show or interview again, just go to the on-demand section of 1037thegame.com or download the 1037 The Game mobile app right now.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. It is a Tuesday, August 20 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from Musanpatu, Buick GMC in New Iberia. And always on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Ben Love, thrilled to be back in the Barrie. The famous Clint D, live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. I will launch very shortly into the Saints. Going to let you hear a little from Sean Payton, discuss their preseason game from 2 days ago, and then maybe where the Saints are fitting in to this year's NFL fabric. But first, I do want to give you an update. A bit of a scary situation in Baton Rouge, and by all reports, it has been resolved. But let me share the latest with you. I know we talk a lot of LSU athletics. This is a little different storyline. But around 3 p.m., an alert went out from LSU PD warning all students to stay away from Cote Hall and a reported armed intruder. And I hadn't quite ever seen this yet. I hate to make fun in any way, shape, or form when there's a serious situation at hand, but apparently universities these days and the university PD are telling people to run, hide, or fight. Why that might be an option, that last one, I'm not quite sure. I guess that's police jargon. I just don't know. But what I can happily report to you at this juncture is that while police are still advising people to stay away from Coates Hall, no injuries have been reported. The building has been evacuated. A spokesperson has reported no gunfire either. Again, they are still locking it down, but this is just one of those things where we're not sure yet if anyone's been taken into custody. Police, again, they've gathered control of the situation, but always a scary deal when it happens on anybody's campus, college, high school, it doesn't matter. But wanted to make sure we gave you the very latest. Many of you obviously close to that university, maybe even with children there, so wanted to make sure you knew the absolute latest. All right, we'll transition over. I did want to lead with the Saints today. We got plenty of LSU football, Cajuns football. They've got a big potential transfer that is heading east. I'll tell you about that later in the program. But let's start with the Saints. And as much chatter as we had yesterday on Taysom Hill, his great performance Sunday, Teddy Bridgewater, his subpar performance. We learned afterward that he was a little bit ill. Haven't brought you straight to the horse's mouth. And so let's go to Sean Payton here. He was asked about comparisons. I don't know if this is a stretch or not. Comparisons of Taysom Hill to Steve Young.
Well, if you look back at Steve's career, and people don't remember his time before he came into the NFL, you had a very athletic player that I think advanced when he got to San Francisco, and he always had great ability with his legs. So you're trying to create visions for player, no different than how you'd evaluate, you know, how you see Teddy progress and what he can be. And I think that that's the business we're in.
I'll tell you this. It is my estimation that Taysom Hill could bench press about 14 Steve Young. So I think the body types certainly are different. Steve Young clearly a left and a better passer. But I get it, the mobility part. Still, I think Taysom Hill is just a few steps along the evolution curve forward from Steve Young, but not nearly the complete package at quarterback as the former San Francisco 49er. One more from Payton on his QBs. He says that they've seen growth not just from Taysom Hill, but even in second-year QB Teddy Bridgewater.
I said this yesterday and a week ago. I think we've seen a significant growth with both he and Teddy, you know, Teddy's full second year and Taysom the same. I mean, you know, we're seeing things. take place on a day-to-day basis that maybe weren't happening a year ago.
We'll catch one more from Sean Payton. Then I want to go where the Saints fit in to the big picture. We'll go to the defensive side, though. This time around, head coach of the Saints looked at one of his rookies from the Florida Gators.
We would consider
Chauncey Gardner Johnson. That's been CD, false start. It's been shortened to CJ Gardner Johnson, but I'll take the hint, amigo. You can play the sound.
We would consider Buffalo because his natural position would be a safety. So I don't know that you could take any strong safety and play him in that position, but one of the things that we felt he did very well in college was play in that slot position. So he got more reps at it in Buffalo yesterday than the first week. First week he played more safety snaps. So a lot of it depends on the game plan and who we're playing. But, yeah, it's one of the things that we feel like he can do well.
And, see, my big question there, how will Dennis Allen and the Saints defense juggle? It's a good problem to have, but how do you juggle C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Patrick Robinson coming back healthy? I think there was a lot expected from Robinson last year, and you never got to see it come to fruition on the field. Now, all of a sudden, Allen's got some real mix-and-match opportunities. Some of it may well depend on the type of offense that they're facing on the other side, but this isn't college football. The offenses really don't vary all that much. Occasionally, you'll encounter, I don't know, a Carolina with Cam Newton, a Buffalo with Josh Allen. You've got some mobile quarterbacks in the league, but, you know, Mike Vick, Colin Kaepernick, hey, just thinking about mobile quarterbacks, don't shoot the messenger here. Those guys aren't turning the corner, by and large, in the NFL like they could college football these days. Even Kyler Murray, I might put into that grouping. Russell Wilson, not the same degree of mobility. They're not looking to run at that often. So it's going to be about coverage skills in the slot. Who do you trust more? Is the rookie, Gardner Johnson, going to find his way to top billing over Patrick Robinson? Those are the types of things we'll continue to learn. But there's something else I saw earlier today. It'll fit into our sink or swim question in about 20 minutes. Power rankings released. The mothership put theirs out earlier this morning. And right now the Saints are third in the NFL. Not going to tell you there's a thing wrong with that. But I'll get you some more intel on who's slotted ahead of them right now. Who else in the NFC South is considered a challenger? And we'll start to kick that around. I'm not going to base anything the Saints have done in these two preseason games versus Minnesota at the Chargers. Not going to base any of what they'll do this year of those performances. But what I can tell you is this. What they put on paper last year, what they're bringing in new to this team, not just the rookies, but a guy like Jared Cook, I understand all of the optimism. Are they the very best in the league before this season kicks off? They're close. I'm not sure that it's a slam dunk over the goalpost that they are, but we'll talk about their place together later in the program. And it's a big show today between now and 6:35. Three great guests hopping aboard B2BS in about 4 or 5 minutes. Rod Walker, sports columnist with the New Orleans Advocate, will join us, and he has some interesting pieces up on Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. Also, the big interception by the youngster, Colton Jumper, for the Saints, and defensive end Trey Hendrickson. So we'll keep it going. Who Dat Nation talking Saints next with Rod Walker. At 5:05, you get a live scene, well, not a setter, a scene closer. Shea Dixon's going to report on LSU fall camp. He steps out of the Ponderosa, and he talks with me and you at 5:05. And at 6 o'clock, we got to start doing some previews of college football that's happening this freaking weekend. It's happening. Florida versus Miami in Orlando. And Bob Redman, Swamp247.com, coming aboard at 6 o'clock to preview that ball game for us. We'll talk a little week zero football with Bob Redman. Of course, we're hanging out today at Musinpatu Buick GMC in New Iberia. They've got great deals on great wheels. How about this? A 2019 GMC Sierra HD Denali and SLT, all in stock, and you can take $12,057 off the MSRP with owner loyalty. That means 2005 or newer GM product. You can get $13,500 off the MSRP. If you want to get into a dynamite truck. How about the 2019 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab SLT at a serious discount? They're doing $13,000 off the MSRP only at Musinpatu in New Iberia. So come out and see us. We'll be right back in. You're listening to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back out to Musinpatu, Buick GMC in New Iberia. Beautiful day here in Acadiana, but we're going to take our show on the road east along I-10 to New Orleans. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Rod Walker, sports columnist for the New Orleans Advocate, and you can read his work online at NOLA.com. How are you, Rod?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we love having you here in the Hub City and throughout Acadiana. Some interesting, I guess, observations everyone's able to draw from that last Saints preseason game. And we've been talking mostly about the quarterbacks not named Drew Brees. I guess your takeaways there, and what happens with both of those guys this year and beyond?
I think they signed Teddy Bridgewater for another year, and I think they did that with the intention that, you know, if Brees decides to hang it up, I think the intentions were, you know, Teddy, you'll probably be the guy. So I think that's part of what they were thinking. I mean, I haven't – no one's actually come out and said that, but that's just kind of been my take on it since they re-signed Teddy. And I think Tyson's a guy that Sean really likes him, and, you know, he talks about him being a quarterback one day. You know, we still sort of look at him almost like as this gimmick guy, you know, just, you know, a bunch of gadget plays and all that. But Sean Payton really likes him and thinks he's a guy that can start in the NFL at some point. So, I think, you know, whenever Brees does hang it up, I mean, these might be two guys that are battling for that position. I think we'll have an actual quarterback controversy then, I guess, when it comes down to it with those two guys. But I think for right now, I think Teddy's still the number two guy, which is something I wrote about today. And I think, you know, Tyson will be a guy that they'll continue to use in all the different ways that they've used.
Yeah, one more on Hill, if you don't mind. Do you think there's as much usage of Hill in the slot as kind of an H-back, almost as a running back sometimes? Is there going to be as much of that this year as last year, or will they concentrate more on lining him up at quarterback?
That's a good question. I think I'd probably guess they'll still line him up all over the place just because I think Sean just likes the threats that he, you know, poses to the defense by putting him in all these different spots. And, I mean, it just makes the defense have to – it's one more thing they have to worry about. So I think they'll continue to spread, you know, move him around in different spots. But I would think he'd play, you know, line up in quarterback, you know, most of the time. I do think there'll be a lot of packages where you'll see him all over the place, just like we've done, you know, just like last season.
Visiting with Rod Walker, you can and you should follow him on Twitter, at Rod Walker NOLA. The offensive line through about the eighth or ninth game of last season, as I recall, Rod, was number one in the NFL by so many different metrics. Then some injuries struck. Now we know they're going without Max Unger, likely inserting a rookie at center. How do you evaluate this group and where some of their biggest strengths are, maybe some of the biggest challenges?
I think the strength of the offensive line is definitely going to be on the outside with Teron on one side and Ryan Ramczyk on the other side. I mean, those are, you know, two of the best tackles in the league. So, I mean, that's good for a guy like Drew Brees. So you want to be able to keep him standing upright back there in the pocket. So I think those guys are great. I think, you know, Pete and Larry Walker, I mean, both of those are really solid guys, you know, on the inside at guard. And, you know, the big one of the biggest pieces going into this, to his training camp was the center position, and I think, you know, going into it, we thought it was going to be a really position battle, but, I mean, just based on what we've seen in the past 2.5 weeks, I mean, it looks like it's definitely Eric McCoy's job. I think he's impressed Sean Payton and the coaching staff enough to solidify that spot. He's, you know, started both of the preseason games, and he's got most of the reps in training camp, and I've been kind of telling people this. After the draft, I went back and looked at the last 20 years on all the centers that have been drafted in the first two rounds. And, I mean, it's not a long list of them. I mean, maybe 10, 12, 15 guys. I can't remember what the number was, but all of those guys who, all centers who've been picked in those first two rounds, I mean, they've played that first season. I mean, they kind of step in and play right away. It's just one of those positions that when NFL coaches and scouts value that position in college and decide to draft that high, those guys aren't usually long-term projects. I mean, they're guys that usually step in to play right away, and I think we're going to see that with Eric McCoy as well. And, you know, this is a guy that played in the SEC West and played against some of the best defensive linemen in the country, and I think that experience is going to, you know, be able to carry over to the NFL. And obviously he had the big – he had the miscue the other day with the miscommunication with Teddy Bridgewater on that bad snap, but I think that's something that's fixable. But I think what he's done as far as blocking, I think everybody's been satisfied with what he's done so far.
Defensively, Rod, I'm interested in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We played a clip earlier in the show from head coach Sean Payton, his development in slot coverage. How do you think that they view him, especially in comparison with Patrick Robinson? I know he's proven in the league, but injured last year. What about those two?
I think Chauncey probably has an edge just because he's so versatile. I think the fact that he can, you know, he can play corner if you need him to. He can play safety if you need him to. He can play the nickel for all three positions, but pretty much as far as secondary. So I think he's a guy that I probably, you know, if it came down to a roster spot, and I think Chauncey's definitely on his team anyway. But you know, I think Patrick Robinson probably has probably should be a little concerned. I mean, I still think he'll make the team because he's versatile too, but I just think Chauncey's probably a guy that's really stepped in. They put a lot on his plate. It's something that Eric Glenn talked about early in camp. I mean, they were going to try to load his plate up with, as much as they could and see how fast he can catch on, and he's been able to do that, and he's, you know, he's played pretty well in these games so far.
Another moment or two, we're talking Saints with Rod Walker on 103.7 The Game. I'm glad you referenced the chopping block. So as they whittle this thing down eventually to 53 men, Rod, what are some of the positions, not just the players, but what are some of the positions they'll be eyeing the most for these cuts?
I think the tight end position, I think you have Jared Cook and Josh Hill. I think those guys are locked at that tight end position. But I think that third, you know, they typically carry three tight ends, and I think that third one's really going to be up in the air. I mean, you have Dan Arnold, you have Garrett Grayson, you have A.J. Derby, who they recently signed, and then you have Alize Mack, who they drafted, but he's been injured throughout, you know, for the past 3 weeks. He hadn't practiced since July 30th, but he came back on yesterday, and he's a guy that, you know, he has some catching up to do these last two preseason games if he wants to nab one of those, that third tight end spot. So that's one of the positions I'm really interested in. I think some of those cornerback spots are going to get tricky. I mean, you got guys like Ken Crawler who's been here for, you know, the past couple of years, but, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot from him in camp. He may be a guy that's on that chopping block, especially with, you know, the emergence of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and some of those guys in the secondary. But for me, I mean, that tight end position is the biggest one. I mean, people talk about the third running back. I think, you know, behind Kamara and Latavius Murray, and I think that third guy is probably Dwayne Washington. I think Devon Ozigbo, the running back out of Nebraska, I think he's a guy that – I think they like him. I think he's a guy that, you know, may have been on their practice squad. And obviously receiver, I think that's the one that we've talked about the most. You know, even going back to last season, you start off with, obviously, you know, Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn are the two main guys, and you assume Traquan Smith will be on that team as well. But then you get out to, you know, those other guys, and, you know, I think Emmanuel Butler's played really, really well in camp. Didn't do, you know, much in his first game playing this past week. They targeted him three times, and he didn't have any catches. He actually had a drop pass, which was pretty shocking because in training camp he was basically catching everything he threw his way. So, you know, you got guys like him and Keith Kirkwood and Phil Grayson who are all trying to battle for some of those other spots. So I think that receiver, those, you know, fourth and fifth receivers are going to be, you know, really interesting to watch down the stretch.
We'll get you out of here, Rod, with this one. The Saints play Saturday night at the New York Jets. How much do we expect to see Breeze, some of the starters in that game?
You know, that third game is when you typically see the starters, but I still don't think you see Breeze a lot. I mean, I just think at this point in his career, I don't know what the point of it would be. So, I mean, he may get two or three snaps, but, you know, if he didn't dress out at all again, I wouldn't even be surprised. I mean, I know you typically see a quarterback at least once in the preseason, but I just think at this stage in Breeze's career, I mean, maybe not. But if you do, you know, to be one series, I think he'd be out of there. I don't see the use of him sticking around and playing a lot. Some of the other guys, I mean, you may see Cam Jordan, I mean, play, you know, he may get a series this game maybe. But Sean hasn't given any indication of what the plan is. I'd expect that you know, see some of those guys that, you know, just for a bare minimum.
Always a pleasure. Rod, we appreciate you coming aboard today on the program. We'll be following your work at NOLA.com. Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
That's Rod Walker, a guy that, well, he's pretty decorated. Sports Writer of the Year in Louisiana for 2018 by the LSWA. So great to have him aboard. All right, before we hit our break, how about a quick update? Again, I let off the show just trying to keep you abreast of the latest news. Right now, WAFB-TV in Baton Rouge reporting, so far, with the reported armed intruder at Coates Hall on LSU's campus, no reports of shots fired, no injuries. But still, we're waiting for comment by authorities and LSU officials who have not yet given the all clear. So they're encouraging people to stay away from Coates Hall. And they have evacuated it, but I don't know that there's anybody in custody yet. That's where we were about 25 minutes ago when we first gave you the news and came into the show. Wanted to make sure that we updated that here as we come up quickly on the halfway point of the hour. All right, when we return, we're going sink or swim. The Saints place in the NFL, and we've got some goodies to give away here at Musinpatu in New Iberia. I'll tell you all about them. Stay with us. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Post haste back to the Berry as we're hanging out at Musinpatu, Buick GMC in New Iberia. And we've got some more reasons, other than the great deals, the tremendous vehicles here at Musinpatu, more reasons for you to come out and see us. First come, first serve. For the next 2 hours, I will be here until the Astros and Tigers pregame show starts. And between now and 6:35, come and ask me for the Blue Bayou Dixie Landon 4-pack of tickets. It's a family 4-pack to go to Blue Bayou Dixie Landon in Baton Rouge. I have two such family 4-packs. It'll be first come, first serve there. I've also got two passes for the Hoodat Rally and Music Fest that are coming up. So whether you and the kiddos want to go to Baton Rouge and get your slide on, right? Get some fun in the sun. Or you want to go to the Hoodat Rally and Music Fest that's coming up. Come and ask me. First come, first serve. We got it for you. Musinpatu, Buick GMC in the Berry. All right, CD, I want to get to a couple of news updates. First UL, then LSU. And we'll dive back into the Saints with our sink or swim question. But we hinted at this earlier. The Raging Cajuns are going to be losing a tight end, but not just to injury. According to Parrish Alford, and this guy's been covering Ole Miss football for quite some time, a regular on the Jordy Holtberg Show, according to Parrish Alford, Chase Rogers, we've been talking about him a lot recently, reportedly transferring to Ole Miss. So let me get this straight. While playing at St. Stanislaus, catching passes for Miles Brennan, Chase Rogers recruited heavily by Ole Miss, a 4-star tight end prospect. And he got injured in high school. Kind of the one that ended up getting away as after the injury, Ole Miss maybe did, maybe didn't cool. The reports there kind of vary. But Mark Hudspeth and company able to swoop in and they get a big, big tight end. The first year, or the final year, I should say, the Hudspeth there, and the final year before Billy Napier got to the Hub City. And he misses his first full season with a foot injury. Injures that foot again this year and was going to be out for substantial time, and yet still Matt Luke and Ole Miss want him to come back home. That one's interesting. Unless they're heavily recruiting St. Stanislaus and he is somehow a feather in their cap, I'm going to be honest and tell you that that one's confusing to me. I know there were reports that he entered the transfer portal, wanted to get closer to home, but that's one heck of a way to kind of fall up, wouldn't you say? Going from the Sun Belt to the SEC. But, hey, to each his own. All right, more from Cajuns camp. Levi Lewis, no shock here, would be the starter if the season began today. That tight end room, even without Rodgers, already looking a little thin. We talked about this yesterday. Hunter Bergeron from St. Thomas More, kind of a converted defender. And then Johnny Lumpkin, both nicked up as well. So, and the team tomorrow will officially begin game prep, Billy Napier said, for Mississippi State. So less working on us and more working toward them. Quickly to the LSU side. And right now the Tigers at practice, the reporters out there sending the Twitter details out that along the offensive line, Damian Lewis remains out of practice. But Chasen Hines, who yesterday was kind of just watching when they weren't in pads, now that they're back in pads, Hines, an offensive guard, a full participant, as is Christian Fulton, back at practice, full participant today. And freshman defensive lineman Apu Aika, he's out there, but he's in a gold non-contact jersey. So there you have it, a little bit of a slice of life from college football in Lafayette, then in Baton Rouge. We'll keep it going east in that direction. We're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints. And I've got a question for you. I'll hit it right after the music.
Exciting and new.
The upper crust of the NFL, we all believe the Saints belong there in that discussion. Earlier today, the mothership.com put the Saints third in their NFL preseason poll. They had the Patriots at one, the Chiefs at two. For what it is worth to you, I'll round out the top five, the Los Angeles Rams at four, and the Philadelphia Eagles at five. So I say that to ask this. Other than the Saints, can't let you go with the hometown answer. Which team do you think is most likely to win the Super Bowl this season? Call us up. Let us know. Let's have some fun with it. 706-0111. Clint, while we wait on the calls, lead us off.
All right. I appreciate that, Ben. And you know what? When I'm thinking about it, just looking at the entire NFL, I think it's pretty darn easy to say that the Patriots are going to wind up winning the Super Bowl again. But I'm going to go against the grain a little bit here. But I'm going to go a little bit against the grain and say I think the Kansas City Chiefs have every chance to do so. They're going to wind up breaking through in a big way this year. I think the fact you have some new pieces to that defense, because that was the biggest weakness for them last year, you're able to kind of work that defense and build them up to be a little more of a stalwart as opposed to what we saw, namely in that Rams-Chiefs game on Monday Night Football. I think we're going to see a much better all-around team. I think they could help out the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they have every chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
You know what I'm interested in, and I understand that we play in a high-octane offensive era, so maybe this just makes me the dumb guy in the room. Will not be the first or last time. I'm interested in elite defense. I think you can win it without elite defense in the modern era, but, boy, you better be just mind-blowingly good on offense. And the Saints, at times last year, were exactly that. Down the stretch of the regular season, into the playoffs, things just get tight. It's what happens. The Rams scored three freaking points in the Super Bowl last year. Things get tight. I look to elite defenses, and so that's why I'm going to tell you, I don't think the Chiefs have a chance in hell of winning the Super Bowl this year. I think ranking them at two is just out of this world. I get why the Patriots are at one. You can't count them out while it's Belichick and it's Brady. Their defense isn't always elite, but it's good enough. Certainly was last year. But I'm going to give you one of three teams, and I would consider them maybe second-tier teams to win it all. So I get that maybe these guys don't belong in the same breath as the Saints and the Patriots, but, boy, I think they're awfully close. I like the Chargers, I like the Bears, and I like the Eagles. Again, give me elite defenses. Ed Daniels joined us yesterday from New Orleans, WGNO TV. He's absolutely right. The Chargers have an elite defense. When Joey Bosa's rolling, when they have that defensive line going, Phillip Rivers wakes up, rolls out of bed, throws for 4,000 yards. They're not as exciting on offense as some of the others, the Chiefs, maybe even the Saints, but they're consistent. And if they get Melvin Gordon straight, I think the Chargers have a chance this year. They won 12 games a year ago. I know they play in a joke of a home field, but Super Bowl won't be played at a home field. With the Bears and the Eagles, look, I'm just that much of a Cowboys hater. I'd love to give you somebody else in the NFC East that's not Jerry Jones' team, because they're a hot mess right now. But the Bears have an elite defense. Mitch Trubisky as a third-year quarterback is growing. I like what they're doing. And outside of that monster for the Rams, Aaron Donald, I think they've got the best defensive player in the league in Khalil Mack. The Philadelphia Eagles, again, elite defensively, especially on that D line. So I'm really big right now on teams that can get after the quarterback, potentially injure the quarterback, even with the rules that are in place today. I kind of like the Chargers, the Bears, and the Eagles, CD. So I asked you for one team, and I gave you three right there. Any of those you like above the rest?
You know, you bring up the Chargers. I feel like that one is going to be something just to keep an eye on. Of course, it feels like every year we talk about Phillip Rivers being a strong favorite. But I do like that Chicago one. I think they can wind up being a dark horse in the NFC, as long as, of course, they don't have to worry about clutch field goals. Again, just a little appreciate there.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. And look, you know, what's funny is that everybody can miss. Nobody is immune to it, right? And I think we saw that even Justin Tucker of the Ravens, most accurate kicker the league's ever had, he can go astray. But yeah, what happened last year with the Bears was just bat bleep crazy. So I get it. The Saints, the Patriots, for a lot of people, the Chiefs, not necessarily yours truly. I know they're stockpiling LSU DBs with Tyrann Mathieu and Mo Claiborne recently. You just can't force me to get on that Chiefs bandwagon this year. I'm not going there, and you can't make me. But there are other teams that I do like, and I'll take some elite defenses as things get tight and the year goes on to represent. All right, final break in the hour. We'll be right back in. We got some more time to kick this around. We've also got some Billy Napier sound that rhymed. Not bad for radio. We're coming right back to Mustard Pot 2, Buick GMC in New Iberia. You're listening to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
Ben Love for Relief Windows, your go-to resource for window.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back. Out to Mustard Pot 2, Buick GMC area. And we'll have some more on the great specials. In fact, the pre-Labor Day sale at the beginning of the 5 o'clock hour. But we left off talking Saints football, their place in the league, and other worthy challengers to the throne. Teams that could win the Vince Lombardi Trophy this following February. You want to weigh in there? We've still got some time for you to answer our sink or swim question of the day. 706-0111. Is it lunacy that I'm talking about the Chargers, the Bears, and the Eagles as legit contenders? Clint, he didn't go too far down the flagpole. He agrees with me and everybody that the Patriots need to be strongly guarded, but we've got some teams out there that we've kicked around. Again, we'll take your submissions when you're ready. But we've talked a little on the Raging Cajuns. Gave you the update earlier this hour. Chase Rogers, according to Parrish Alford, going to be transferring back home to the Magnolia State and miss. A lot of injuries at the tight end spot right now. Want to make sure you hear from Billy Napier. It's not just tight end where they're struggling a little bit for depth all over the place. They're waiting for a second tier of players to emerge.
Then we need a second tier of players to emerge, you know, that needs to continue to improve. And this is not something that will resolve in a couple of days. I think this is going to be ongoing. We've got lots of young players that are in position to help our team, and we're going to need those guys to make progress as the season goes on.
We're kind of like ping pong balls right now on the NBA draft lottery night. We're bouncing back and forth. We'll get to the Cajuns again shortly. We solicited the calls, after all. We might as well take them. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Christian, welcome to the show. Who do you got for us?
Well, I think I agree with you on only one of your teams. I think the Eagles probably do have the best shot other than the Saints in the NFC. And I think in the AFC, it all depends on that calf or ankle or whatever he's working with. But if Andrew Luck is healthy, I think the Colts have what it takes to go all the way.
Oh, that is a dark horse right there. And the Colts last year offensively exploded on defense.
Are they going to be strong enough? We'll find out. But we know, at least in my opinion, Christian, I think they're in the toughest top-to-bottom division in football.
Yeah, I don't know about Tennessee and Jacksonville. And Houston is another one that obviously has the pieces that can go. But I think Indianapolis has that up-and-coming defense and offense that they can really do some damage.
It's a good call, man. Made the playoffs last year and looked awfully good doing it. Thanks for the call, Christian.
So yeah, you have a good one.
You too, man. I like it, though. He's okay with one of my picks, but he gives one of his own. The Colts. Let's keep taking your calls. Back out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Doc, thanks for the patience. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I think Jacksonville, honestly. I mean, they've got a running back. I mean, if they can all put it together, they got a quarterback. I mean, if you kind of throw last year, I mean, everybody was suspecting that was supposed to be the best defense in, and I think they still have the pieces there. If you take the atrocity of the offense out, maybe the defense doesn't give up so early. I mean, I think they could be a dark horse, if you want to call it that.
Well, look, I completely agree, and I'm going to add a little more to this conversation on Leonard Fournette. Doc.
No worries.
So I caught this maybe a couple of weeks ago, and shame on me, I don't think I brought it to the show. Because like Doc, I have said this offseason, I think Jags will be one of the teams that, that takes the biggest step forward this year. I think it's going to be the 49ers and the NFC, although Jimmy Garoppolo will not stop throwing interceptions. And I think it'll be in the AFC, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 5-11 a year ago. Big term in fantasy football parlance is post-hype sleeper, right? That's the player that you built up. They C-wrap the bed, and then the next year they exploded like you thought they would the season prior. I think post-hype sleeper perfectly defines the 2019 Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, they also upgraded, so it's not completely fair. We no longer have to grade them on the quarterback play of Blake Bortles. They've upgraded to Nick Foles. And so now there's an opportunity for an MVP of the Super Bowl to come in and pilot the ship. But the part that I'm referencing on Leonard Fournette, he gave an interview recently. Again, shame on me. I don't know who he was with, so I can't attribute it. But he made reference to not only improving his body and some of the things physically that he's going to need this season, but he referenced the fact that he had to get right off the football field and basically shed some dead weight of people, hangers-on, in his life. And so I think sometimes that we felt like guys like maybe Tyrann Mathieu for a period of time in college, like they had the market cornered on that whole stigma coming out of New Orleans. Well, look, Booga Nation may have been flying out of the gates his rookie year in Jacksonville, but it was ugly last year. I mean, one of the worst yards per carry averages in the league. They told him to stay away, if memory serves, for a little while, suspended him for a game. So Fournette wasn't that great model citizen that all of us, myself included, knew him to be while coming through the turnstiles at LSU. So I'm not telling you that from a fantasy football standpoint, I'm buying all in on Leonard Fournette. I do think he'll have a pretty darn good season. I am telling you that with the combination of a rededicated, on the field and off, Leonard Fournette, shedding the dead weight, Nick Foles coming over, just about every piece back to that amazing defense said that everyone expected last year, and he's exactly right. I think the Jags are going to be really, really good this year. Can they win a Super Bowl? Time will tell. All right, nice helper here from the famous Clint D. It was a Sirius XM NFL radio. Thanks for the lift there, my brother. All right. I'm getting another text from CD, so let me assess this here. LSU has cleared the issue, so we started the hour with this. I guess before we get to our final word, we'll officially end the hour with this. It's big news in the state of Louisiana, but as of 3 p.m., there was an intruder inside Coates Hall on the campus of LSU. In the hour to hour and 20 minutes that followed, they were able to evacuate Coates Hall. I believe it was WAFB TV and BR reporting that there were no gunshots, that there were no injuries. But again, up until Clint just texted me a hot 45 seconds ago, they were telling people to stay clear of the evacuated building. According to Clint, things are all clear now. Clint, I'll ask you this question, understanding you may not have all these answers yet. You're just a little more tech savvy than me here right now on remote, but have they taken anybody into custody? That's the one thing I haven't seen yet.
This is coming from LSU's official Twitter account, and LSU PD has investigated the report of an armed subject and has determined that there was no threat and the university returning to normal operations. No one has been apprehended, basically.
Okay. I appreciate it. And so, again, scary news. I know for a lot of people, thinking about their family members, people they know, friends that are over in Baton Rouge on campus at LSU, wanted to make sure we got you the most timely updates possible. Now back to this round out this hour with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
New, and I am starting to wonder if we won't get some new blood as a Super Bowl champ this season. Look, Philly won it a couple years ago, so that's not completely new. But I've been out the Chargers, that'd be hella new right there. The Bears, Mike Ditka hadn't walked through that door in a while. The Colts, Christian Gavis, not since Peyton was there. And Jacksonville, not even a little bit. Wonder if it's not going to be somebody new. Saints fans are saying, hell no. It's going to be somebody who won it 10 years ago. Awfully good chance of that. So whether or not it'll be somebody new, time will tell. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back. An LSU football update from Shea Dixon at 5:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. 3 minutes after 5 o'clock, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love back out at Musinpatu Buick GMC in New Iberia. Great deals. And how about this? A pre-Labor Day sale going on. We'll tell you about that before this segment is coming. Go on. Always good to be joined by the famous Clint D from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, and we will have Shea Dixon momentarily. It's not a scene setter. It's a scene takedown, if you will, of LSU football practice at the Ponderosa this afternoon. Quickly, your biggest and brightest headlines from around the state and the country when it comes to today's news. Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton named AP All-Americans. LSU the only school in the country with two DBs named either first or second team preseason All-America by the AP. Former Cajun Chase Rogers, a tight end that was a four-star at Ole Miss, a guy that Shea Dixon knew very well coming out of high school in the Magnolia State. He's reportedly transferring back to Mississippi, specifically to Ole Miss. That according to Parrish Alford. And finally, the Dallas Cowboys have inked an extension, just as you were expecting, but not for Zeke Elliott. For Jalen Smith, and the nation's long nightmare has ended as Antonio Brown has returned to practice for the Oakland Raiders. Maybe that means that next week's edition of Hard Knocks on HBO might actually be worth something. All right, enough of that. It's time for one of our favorite guests. It is that time of week you look forward to every week.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go247.
Shea, last we spoke 2 weeks ago, you were sweating bullets out there at the Ponderosa. How goes it today?
Oh, it's hot as can be. It's hot as hell, Ben. And I did yard work all day, so let that sink in.
Man, those calories are just absolutely leaving your body. Quickly, I'll get a wardrobe update. I know that our good friend Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com, always used to have kind of that really sweet combination of like a gardening hat and what Greg Norman used to wear to golf? Do you have an apparatus like that?
No. It's not a great visual, I'm sure, but I went just straight shorts. It was too hot for anything else.
Okay, that's fair. How about an injury update? Guys that have returned to practice, guys that are still out for LSU football.
You know, it's been, Apu Aika was back today in a no-contact jersey, but that's good because they've got him and Tyler Shelvin, who we've always put into this box, right? I mean, the Acadia area knows Shelvin well of, well, he just needs to lose weight and he just needs to stay healthy. And, he was always battling some sort of lingering injury. And he lost weight this offseason, and he hasn't – I mean, I don't know if he's missed one practice. And if he has, it was just one or two, nothing consecutive. So good to have both those nose tackles back out there. I'll tell you, Jamal Pettigrew is back at practice today after being out for a while. He got banged up this summer. He's one of their tight ends, kind of jockeying for a position with Stephon Sullivan and Thaddeus Moss. But he and Torrey Carter got into a scrap and had to get broken up. So there was a good tweet, I forgot which media member just sent it off, but said the fight between Jamal Pettigrew and Torrey Carter, two tight ends. Torrey Carter, you can convert him to tight end, but you can't really take that fullback blood out of him.
I love that. Shea Dixon, go247.com is our guest. Tell me a little bit about these quarterbacks. Everybody obviously pretty excited about the fact Joe Burrow got back. Seemed like he had a pretty darn good scrimmage. The numbers in terms of volume looked awfully good to me, just on paper at least, from his backup in Miles Brennan. So tell us about those two, what you saw, and then also Peter Parris, his progression.
Yeah, they were pretty happy with what Miles Brennan did at the scrimmage. And look, we know what we're getting in Joe Burrow, right? Like, Joe Burrow was an unknown commodity at this time last year. He hadn't started a game since his senior year of high school. So to go put it into perspective, Ben, he graduated college before he ever started a college football game. And we still didn't know what he brought to the table. And after a full year, a New Year's Six Bowl, you get it. And this offense is going to spread it around a little bit more. Justin Jefferson said the other day, look, I'll put good money on it that I don't double up all the receivers again and catches. His point being that they're really spreading it around. They've got the rapport with Joe Burrow. They like this Ensminger Joe Brady offense. And I'll shoot you straight. Look, people are so nitpicky, and that's just being a fan, right? You're a fanatic. But Miles Brennan can be hot and cold, and, you know, he needed to add weight, and he did. And, he's got great numbers in one scrimmage, and then he throws some picks, and is he indecisive? I'll tell you this, and this is from Miles in high school to now, and you know his arm strength, and you know the arm he has. I mean, he's got a better arm than Joe Burrow. When you're looking at your backup, they've got a guy who's capable of going out there and doing it. We thought he might be the starter last year, and now he's going to get a two-year gap to it. And I think, Ben, people still think, oh, well, he's got so much growth, and he does. But he's better than anything else they've had. I mean, he's better than Brandon Harris and Anthony Jennings and I think Danny Etling and all these different guys. Obviously, Etling was a bit older. But point being, they're in a really good spot for the first time in a long time, knowing that, okay, you've got another year of Joe Burrow. If Burrow ever gets banged up, you've got a very capable backup in Brennan. And next year, Brennan's going to take the reins. And as I said, I think they'll have this run on successful quarterback play that, you know, over a few years, 4 years maybe, that they haven't had in a long time.
We'll stick with the LSU offense, Shea, and so many talented options that now have some seasoning at receiver, right? We understand you mentioned Justin Jefferson, but then also Ja'Marr Chase, Terrace Marshall, even Racy McMath put up some numbers in this last scrimmage. That leads me to ask about the freshmen. Is there enough, I guess, space in that locker room, in that huddle? Are there enough balls to go around to accommodate guys like Trey Palmer and Devontae Lee?
I think there is, and certainly Palmer has put himself in that position. I mean, we saw him as a multi-sport athlete. He won a state title at Kentwood. He won the 100 and 200 in track this spring, and talking to some of the other receivers this week, some of the older guys you just mentioned, Chase and Justin Jefferson, they said, look, Trey Palmer is going to play a lot in the slot. And I know we've got other guys. Justin Jefferson plays there. Derek Dillon can play there. Jontre Kirkland can play there. But they said that Trey Palmer's speed is just so evident. And he's a little bit of a game changer. I mean, for a team looking for more explosive plays, more big plays, I think he can deliver that to you. Even as a deep threat, and he had a 50-yard bomb he caught a touchdown in the scrimmage, so he's a stock-up guy, and they bragged on Devonta Lee as a red zone threat, said he plucks it over kids' heads every day. A total mismatch playing receiver, you know, on a cornerback. But while I don't know maybe what's in store for him this year, just because they do have so many receivers, I think he becomes sort of a Stephon Sullivan type if you move him to tight end in this offense or even keep him at receiver. But kind of a mismatch problem for people, Ben, and we saw that when he was at A&M.
Shay, break down the safety position for me. I know everybody understands that it starts with number 7, Grant Delpit, but everybody after that, who you like, who they like, and then maybe some guys that could emerge.
Yeah, well, I think the different thing this year, and we saw more of it towards the end of last year, right? I mean, they lost Chase on right away. They had to go on the fly with a different plan than they came in with. And this year, the defense is going to be a lot more three safeties. And we know Divinity moved from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. And his outside linebacker spot kind of just went away. And it's been replaced by Jacoby Stevens, who can move into the box, or Delpit. And Jacoby Stevens talked a lot about this. He said, look, we're going to be playing a lot of Grant Delpit and myself and Todd Harris in the field at the same time. And one of us will roll down in the box, you know, Delpit or Jacoby. And they can, we saw in the A&M game and really towards the latter part of the season, he's an easy miss, you know, matchup against a tight end or a receiver. It doesn't really matter. He's versatile. So I like those three out of the gate. But boy, Marcel Brooks is a freshman who's really impressed them. He's a freaky athlete. I mean, he's your guy who can get down there and rush the passer too. And then you've got guys like Eric Monroe. Cameron Lewis is playing some backup nickel to Kerry Vincent. Keenan Jones has started to come along after moving from receiver to DB. And then they bring in guys like Mo Hampton. So they've got really good depth there. You know, I mean, they easily go to a three deep. But I think everything, you're right, everything revolves around Delpit. But to expand that a little bit, I think everything sort of revolves around Delpit, Todd Harris, and Jacoby Stevens.
That's a sweet Berwick High drop I think you just had on Keenan Jones, right?
That was. Big shout-out to Berwick High.
Okay, good deal. Hey, speaking of recruiting, we'll end on that. Shay Dixon, go247.com with us every Tuesday, and you called your shot. You said that Coy Moore was likely to pop sooner than later. Reflect on what that commitment means and what happens going forward at that position.
Yeah, consider it done. And by that, I mean both Coy Moore and the receiver recruiting. They're up to 4 commitments right now. And Ben, they didn't just go out and take anybody. They took the number 3 receiver in the country, the number 5 receiver in the country, and the number 6 receiver in the country. And in that group is obviously Kayshon Boutte out of Westgate. And then 2 out-of-state kids, Raheem Jarrett from the East Coast, the D.C. area, and Jermaine Burton out in Calabasas in California. So out of the gate, they went into this sort of fall stretch knowing, okay, we've got 3 really good guys. I mean, as elite as it comes. And we want to add one more. And how do you get a guy who's a little bit different than these guys? And I think Coy Moore fits that bill. He's a slot guy more than anything. He can really help you in the red zone. He's got 36, 37-inch vertical. He's got really good ball skills, strong hands. So they've got 4 commitments. They've only got a handful of spots left in the class. They're not going to spend any more on wide receivers. So the goal now is just to hold on tight. And if they do, it's without a doubt the best wide receiver class in the country. And that sort of thing attracts quarterbacks and other skill players.
Shay, see if you can't go find yourself a Capri Sun. I know it's been hot out there. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, what a throwback there. Thank you for that. I needed it.
He's the man. Shay Dixon, go247.com, and you should go check out his 4,000-word new Tiger rap that is posted to the website. So, again, our thanks to Shay, who joins us each and every Tuesday. Hey, we're going to pass the mic right now. Our pleasure to be joined here at Mustang Pontu in New Iberia. We're at the Buick GMC dealership, and David Merrill is with us. David, tell us all about the pre-Labor Day sale.
Yeah, we got it going on over here. We got a pre-Labor Day sale. Got a lot of vehicles tagged outside, ready to make you guys a great deal to make you feel comfortable and ready for Labor Day. We started out on Buicks. We got Buick Encore priced at $17,947 with Conquest, meaning they have to have a 2005 or newer non-GM product to be able to get there. Next, we have 2019 GMC Sierras, Denalis, and SLTs, $13,500 off of the MSRP. Wow, that's pretty big, isn't it? So with that, if you have a 2005 GM product. Don't have to be trading it. Just bring us a copy of the registration at your address, and you'll be able to get that great discount. And also 2019 GMC 1500 crew cabs, SLTs, also stick it at $13,000 off of the price. Come see us. We have a lot of salespeople here ready to take the information from you and make you happy and get you ready for Labor Day.
David Merrill, you know we appreciate it. Thanks to you, Nathan Hebert, and everybody for having us at Mustard Patu.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being here. We need you. Thank
you. The fun is not done yet. We're coming back, and we'll be here for another hour and 20 minutes. When we return, let's take your phone calls. We'll go in on LSU, the Cajuns, and the Saints. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back to the Berry on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Shuffling back out to Musipatu in New Iberia, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock. Still having fun and still got time for more of your phone calls. We took a few at the end of the 4 o'clock hour on our sink or swim question of the day. Let's put that back up for auction. Other than the Saints, don't need the hometown influence with this one. We know everyone likes the Saints' chances. But other than Houdahat Nation, which team do you think is most likely to win the Super Bowl this season? We've also had some people give their dark horse selections. So, hey, whatever's clever, give us a call. 706-0111 for what it's worth. Christian's giving us the Colts. Doc has said the Jags. I like some of these picks. I tossed up for consideration, I think, the Chargers, Bears, and Eagles due to elite defenses and quarterbacks that you can trust. Some maybe a little more than others. Hey, I like all these guys. If I'm not going with the Saints, and I'm not taking the low-hanging fruit and saying the New England Patriots. So we'll leave that topic open for discussion. And frankly, we don't have another guest lined up until straight up 6 o'clock. Bob Redman, Swamp247.com will be with us. Got to get a preview for the Week 0 football game of the weekend coming up. Florida, Miami, from Orlando. So Bob Redman, Hollywood Bob, coming aboard in about 40 minutes. But between now and then, we got a lot of time to chop it up. I've given you the NFL-related sink or swim question. A few other thoughts that I'll wrap up after talking with Shea Dixon. What comes to mind for me at this time of year, I actually think Billy Napier from the Cajuns said it perfectly. You need your second-team players to emerge. Depth. And guys that you can rely on. Because the inevitable fact is you put some of those guys in mothballs. I mean, you use them as scout team dummies, basically, until you have to throw them into the mix. And more times than not, you don't learn that you have to throw them into the mix until somebody gets hurt mid-game. You don't always get the luxury of learning in practice that somebody, well, they might not be able to go for the next game, and we just learned this. No, more often, as we all know, it happens on the fly. So while Billy Napier addressed some of the lack of depth that the Cajuns are experiencing, I think LSU in certain spots has it in spades. Not just because these guys used to be four-star players, but because they're starting to make their mark going against the rest of the four and five stars in practice during this August fall camp. And that's when I would point toward Devontae Lee out of A Meat as a red zone threat. We touched on him yesterday. Shea Dixon just gave 2 cents on him as well. Trey Palmer might just be stealing some time away from Jontre Kirkland in the slot, Derek Dillon in the slot. Each of those guys with more time in the program than Palmer's got as a freshman out of Kentwood High School. So this is the time of year where you got to prove it if you want to get on the field. And the fact that LSU's got guys that might be leapfrogging, in Palmer's case, Derek Dillon at receiver. In Devontae Lee's case, maybe a guy like Racy McMath at wide receiver, it's important because you never know when you're going to need a guy. Same thing applies in the secondary, I would say. And that's where the secondary depth that Shea spoke to, a three-safety approach, kind of suddenly comes into fruition. But the one thing I will say, and Clint knows this, he knows that my man crush, if I could say so, heading into this LSU football season, I thought we were about to see Jacob Phillips explode, 100-plus tackle player this year. Still could happen, but Shea's right. Moving Michael Divinity to the inside means that there's not necessarily room for both Phillips and Patrick Queen to play an inside linebacker. It's more of a one or the other. And then there's Damone Clark, who we heard a lot about last week, had a big first scrimmage, the youngster out of Southern Lab. So, you know, that's one of those things that you consider as well. I guess that means you could count it as added depth at inside linebacker. But the other thing it means, that you've got more guys at safety who could be on the field at the same time. So while we look at this chessboard for Dave Aranda, it's about depth and different combinations to match up with different styles of offense. So think back. Whoever was with us at 4:08 or so p.m., you're shaking your head up down right now as you're driving home. I said, yep, that's what Ben was talking about with the Saints earlier and their defense. The differences in C.J. Gardner-Johnson's game, Patrick Robinson's game, that's more of a one or the other situation because the NFL offenses, they're not going to vary a ton because you can't have a running quarterback that runs it as high of a percentage of a time as you can in college. You just can't. A lot of years proving that point. Ask Robert Griffin III whether or not that works in the NFL down in, down out. It just doesn't. But in the college game, you can. And so suddenly it's not an either-or thing like it is with Gardner Johnson and Robinson for the Saints. At the college level, I mean, it's all those guys, right? It's not just Grant Delpit. It's Grant Delpit and Todd Harris and Jacoby Stevens. Or if you play somebody with a little more junk in the trunk that likes to get heavy and run it on you, okay, well, it's less of Stevens, and it's more of that three linebacker look, or I guess more accurately, four linebacker look, including Kalavon Chaisaw. Then all of a sudden, it's Chaisaw and Devin on the outside. It's Queen and it's Harris on the inside, or Phillips, excuse me, on the inside. So there's just so many different things you can do. So for me, this is the time of year where you start to identify depth, and you better keep those guys engaged because most of them, they're an injury away from hitting the field, but they also know that. So you hope that they're engaged, that they're preparing, because they're not going to get starters reps here in about another week. It's going to be a very, very different story. Everybody starts moving downhill toward that opening game, and in LSU's case, downhill toward the week two matchup with the Texas Longhorns in Austin. All right, we are halfway through our 5 o'clock hour on the other side. Hey, it's a daily tradition. Time to throw some shade, and we got a twofer today. Everybody piling in on Daniel Jones. Baker Mayfield, the latest in line. I'll tell you about that. And another starting quarterback in the league with a 0.0 QB rating over the weekend. I'll give you a hint, that's not good. That and more. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back out to Mus and Patu in New Iberia on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
34 minutes after 5 o'clock, we're coming back, and yeah, we've got some shade to throw. Some of these NFL quarterbacks are making it easier than others. They do it with their performance. They do it with their off-the-field interviews and words, and then we just get to lap it up, frankly, right? Like dogs that are hot, and you put a bowl in front of them. It's just what we do, and every day, in the 5 o'clock hour. So with no more further ado, I'll issue your daily reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust management, top down, starting with Mark, to sit down with you, create a vision, and then fulfill it before the Saints go marching in toward the Super Bowl. They can do it for you. They can up your patio game that quickly. All it takes to start is a trip to PatioCenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at PatioCenter.com.
First Monday night football game of the season, kinda, was last night. The 49ers won it 24-15, but nope, that's not the storyline. Jimmy G, that's right, Jimmy Garoppolo, you might have to do better than that. In fact, I won't say anything first. Anything, Jimmy, that you would like to say on your own behalf?
You know, obviously a little frustrated, but that's the NFL. You know, it's unfortunately we don't get to play the whole game right now, so you only get so many plays. You wish you could be out there for more so you could bounce back and everything, but it's, you know, it is what it is, the preseason right now, so just got to take it in stride.
1 for 6, 0 yards, and an interception. That was the line for Jimmy Garoppolo last night. Also, a pick six was pretty clearly dropped, one of his first two series out there. So lucky that he was not 1 for 6 with 2 interceptions and 1 returned for 6 points. As it was, Jimmy G, how about a 0.0 QB rating in his return from injury? You'll recall that he tore his ACL last year in week 3. And Clint, the whole thing has me wondering if 2 years ago, when Tom Brady got jealous that he was either A, creeping up on him on the depth chart, or B, hitting on Giselle, one of the two, and he was shipped out from New England, playing for a winner, out to the terrible 49ers, and they won like 5 games in a row, if memory serves. Was that just a mirage? I mean, that's what I continue to wonder. Jimmy G was wildly mediocre in his 3 games before getting injured last year. On the shelf, the rest of the season and a good chunk of this offseason. Reportedly, in practice at training camp, when they put on the pads, one of the first goes for San Francisco this August, he threw 5 interceptions on 5 straight plays. I'm starting to wonder if it wasn't a mirage 2 years ago, if the guy is just snake-bitten, and maybe Tom Brady has spread a curse over toward the West Coast. But you got to throw all kind of shade at a 0.0 QB rating. Don't mind telling you, this guy was on my fantasy football radar as a backup QB. That won't be happening anymore. I'll transition over. We've got a 2-for for you today. I told you, NFL quarterbacks with their play and with their words, right? Baker Mayfield did a wide-ranging, extensive interview with GQ because he plays for the Cleveland Browns, and they do a whole lot of talking with their walking these days. But Baker Mayfield on the Giants drafting Daniel Jones, especially as highly as they did, he said, quote-unquote, "It blows my mind." As to expound, Mayfield said of the former Duke quarterback, now with the New York Giants, "Either you've got a history of winning or you don't." That speaks for itself. Jones was 17-19 as a starter for David Cutcliffe at Duke. But leave it to Baker Mayfield, just laying it all on the line. He tells it like it is with his own teammates. He was one of the driving forces in basically telling Duke Johnson to get the hell out. Now he has with the Houston Texans. But he'll spread that hate and spread the wealth over the NFL as well. That one cracked me up. You may just say that he's telling the truth there, and I guess you could make that argument. I just don't know that there are a lot of quarterbacks in the league that would disrupt the QB fraternity that way. But Baker Mayfield on Daniel Jones, either you've got a history of winning or you don't. Ouch.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Clint, I'm not sure how much more there is to add to that, but I'll let you do it if you want. I don't know if he is fueled with the blood of a winner there over in New York.
I don't think so either. I feel like it's just always been the biggest thing for me. Sure, he's got the great pedigree with him working with a notable quarterback guru, but how much of that is going to translate to wins on the field if we see Daniel Jones be the starting quarterback, be it this year or the next couple seasons?
Is it fair to judge a pro quarterback by the wins, losses, tally, and success that he had in college? I don't know that it is completely, because I think we can always pull examples, we could pull rules, and then anomalies, right, exceptions, out of our back pocket if we really wanted to. But I would say this. If you come from a smaller school, if you come from a traditionally challenged school, and Duke, I think, fairly we can say is that, right? I mean, if you had a stud that was playing at somewhere like Wake Forest or Duke, you got to take your chances. If the record ain't great and you like what you see, I just don't know if Daniel Jones always put on film the things that warranted the number six overall pick. That's a more, I guess, a fairer point, I think, than what Baker Mayfield laid out there. Because, I mean, look, Vandy would be another good example. A challenged football school. It's fair for us to say that. But I think everything that we saw from Jay Cutler while he was there pointed toward a guy that, okay, he deserved to maybe be taken as highly as he was and be handed the reins to the franchise first in Denver, and then by the time that it looked like he was just chain-smoking cigs when he was out with the Chicago Bears. You get my point, though, CD. Let's hit our final break of the hour. When we return, I want to go college football wide. We mentioned that Florida-Miami game. We'll preview it with Bob Redman at 6 o'clock. On the other side of this break, let's go a little bit more NCAA wide. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to Mustard Pot 2 Buick GMC in New Iberia. Beautiful day to come buy a new car or truck. Come see them out here and visit us. We'll be live on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
College football, we all love it, and it is oh so close. 4 days away, to be exact. And you've got a couple of week zero games. I'll give you the drop there. And look forward to Labor Day weekend. The first big game on the schedule that Saturday, and the first matchup of ranked teams that Saturday. You want to dial in? Sharing the college football fun. Kick it off with us. Give us a holler. We got time. 706-0111. First off, I keep referring to the game this Saturday. Miami, number 8 Florida, Camping World Stadium in Orlando. The last time these two met, this kind of took me by surprise a little, 2013. I tried to actually think to myself, who the hell was the coach of Florida in 2013? I don't know, like Will Muschamp? Was it the guy that they photoshopped into humping an alligator CD? I know you remember that story. Or was it a shark? You got to help me here a little bit. What did they do with my guy?
I believe it was a shark, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I've seen the picture, so, yeah.
I'm thinking alligator because they're the Florida Gators. That's right.
It was Muschamp, though.
No, that was not. Muschamp was in 13. That's not who they photoshopped.
Okay. McElwain.
If, in fact, it was photoshopping at all. That's black helicopters for you right there. But, yes, 2013, Muschamp was the head coach at Florida. Now, of course, he's at South Kakalaka. Times have changed. Miami's undergoing some change as well. Hell, it might have been Al Golden. That was the coach in Coral Gables at that time. Still, two programs that used to play on an annual basis, getting back together. Gators, number 8 team in the country. That may surprise some, but they finished with a bit of a flurry, right? Big win in a New Year's Six Bowl over Michigan to end the season, and Florida starting in the top 10. We heard yesterday, and this is not a bad point, Ruffin Rodriguez said this. I agree with him. Preseason polls are a whole lot about returning quarterbacks, right? People love to look at how many starters you return. Do you have a returning quarterback? Felipe Franks, well, he counts for Florida. They're 7.5-point favorites in that ball game. Your other contest on the week zero, opening Saturday of the season, this Saturday, the 24th, Arizona, an 11-point favorite on the road at Hawaii. How about a 9:30 kickoff? So you really want to be a degenerate, get as much college football as you can in. You'll be able to watch it as Saturday bleeds into Sunday. That's how sweet that is. I got more to go on college football, but you call in, we're going to take it. We'll get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline Halftime. Welcome back to the program. Let's talk some college football.
Well, Ben, what I want to say about college football, the problem I'm having with college football, I don't know if I can say any of these names, stop me at any time. Let's just say I'm having a problem with DirecTV, if you know where I'm going with this. Now, if you haven't heard, DirecTV, and if I can't say yes, is not showing right now in this area with DirecTV. So a lot of people, a lot of my friends, we've been fussing, we're like, they need to do something about this because a lot of the good college football games come on CBS. So you're going to have a lot of your listeners, they're upset right now with DirecTV. I don't know if you heard about what's going on, but it's been going on all summer long. And
oh,
we're waiting for this to come back.
Halftime, I appreciate the call. I am very well aware. And you could say whatever you want on this station. Well, okay. Let me crawfish and back that up a little bit. You could say a lot of things on this station. I understand that we have friends in the media that work for that station here at 103.7 The Game, but facts are facts. Now, you have a couple options there. Call into shows like this, get Ben about it, write your congressman, that whole thing, or could also drop DirecTV. Just throwing that out there for you, but I get it. I was on DirecTV for the better part of 9 years. In fact, the entirety of my post-college tenure living in Baton Rouge, I had DirecTV. So I get it. These disputes used to come and go, but these days they last longer. And I think DirecTV, some of the others, they dig their heels in. Why? Well, because they're making more money off of you on the Internet. It's going to tell it like it is there. I mean, how much do you really think they're getting off a ESPN sub, just for example? Trust me when I tell you, it ain't a lot, right? The margins are getting awfully thin there. So if they lose you on the TV side, I don't think they're as worried about it. I'll leave that conversation for another program and another day. But halftime is right. You want to watch the SEC Game of the Week on CBS? You might have to catch a sports bar. Or you might have to Roku it up and find a way to, I don't know, pirate somebody else's non-DirecTV password. Clint, I figured this one might find its way into the show. Not that halftime would bring it necessarily, but I saw a nice-sized uproar over a Saints-Chargers preseason game this Sunday, and I'm sure that you had some of that trickle your way as well.
Thankfully, I have Cox, so I'm not necessarily having to deal with it from that aspect. But, of course, just to kind of give people a heads up, it is the dispute between AT&T, DirecTV, and CBS, in terms of the big CBS, it's over. The only thing you're going to have to deal with is what's going on with each and every CBS-owned CBS station's owners. You're going to have to deal with that. That's why kind of we're having such a holdup right now on that aspect.
So what exactly, respectfully, what exactly did you just say that would make anybody feel better about their ability to get KFY locally?
Well, like I said, hopefully in the next, I'm saying the next couple weeks, if we can wind up finally getting this thing resolved. But I'm saying like the one hurdle's down, one to go, basically. That's where I'm at right now.
Halftime's got a valid concern. I will just leave it at that. I feel badly, though, because I don't mind telling you that when people, you know, hit up anchors, for example, what the hell is it? I see it on Facebook all the time, like an anchor's professional page. Turn the damn Saints game on. Is that what you think's going to happen? Is that how you think this works? George Faust is just going to drive over to the station and press a button and then voila? Not exactly contractually or even his job assignment how these things could possibly work, even if he wanted it to. So I'll leave that there. Here I had a whole segment planned on college football. We get derailed fairly easily. My fault. I'll stay on track. The opening weekend of college football, technically, is this weekend, week zero. But unofficially, it's Labor Day weekend. And the first game that I'm actually going to be fairly glued to outside of the cages at Mississippi State, which I will be attending in New Orleans, I kind of like Boise State, Florida State in Jacksonville. Boise State. Several years removed from the Chris Peterson era, how legit are they? Florida State, can they bounce back after a woeful year with the new head coach replacing Jimbo Fisher. That's a game in Jacksonville. And then the first ranked game of the weekend. For that matter, the first ranked versus ranked matchup of the season. Number 11, Oregon. Number 16, Auburn. That one's in Jerry World. So Arlington, Texas gets a dandy there. Oregon and Auburn. Again, Oregon's got a fairly new head coach that's there. Some pretty big things expected of them. Number 11 in the country. Auburn at number 16, having to move on from Jarrett Stidham. So new blood at quarterback, but a lot of the same pieces in that front seven that made the Tigers slash War Eagle slash Plainsman fairly formidable in 2018. My man Halftime knows that I love him. It's a conversation that's worth having. It bit some people in the tuchus for the Saints preseason game on Sunday, and it's going to continue to be a thing. So if you got DirecTV, I know that's a problem. I'm just not going to feed you false hope or fool's gold and tell you that I think that's about to be resolved anytime soon. I don't have any assurances that that will be the case. I'm glad that you do, Clint. I'm just saying that I don't. I hope it happens. I hope everybody gets to watch everything they want and, you know, puppies and rainbows and sunshine and all that. It's just not always the way that it goes down. All right, we're having a nice time in the sunshine here, having fun at Mustard Pot 2, Buick GMC in New Iberia. And we got a half hour to go on the other side of our hour break. Speaking of that Florida-Miami game, their first matchup in six seasons, we'll get a full preview, especially from the Gator side. Hollywood Bob Redmond, Swamp247.com, will begin our 6 o'clock hour. And, of course, we're bringing you right up into the pregame show, 6:35 of the Tigers at the Astros. First pitch tonight, 7:10 from the Juice Box. Aaron Sanchez on the bump for your Houston Astros. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Rolling into Hour 3. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Mustn't Pod 2, Buick GMC in New Iberia on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here in the Barry. The famous Clint D. joins us for the next 30 minutes from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. 96, I mean exactly 96 hours from right now, college football will kick off for the 2019 season. It'll be number 8 Florida and Miami from Camping World Stadium in Orlando. To help us preview that matchup, let's head east. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Bob Redmond, Swamp247.com, your Florida Gator Insider Authority. Bob, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me.
You know we have to have a week zero conversation. So first off,
How
did this game come to fruition on the date that it's going to be contested?
I think college ESPN or somebody approached the school about it. I mean, we didn't. It was scheduled for the first regular weekend up until about 3 or 4 months ago, and then I think ESPN and the NCAA collaborated and said, "Hey, let's try to get one of the big games." And I guess Florida Miami was one of the bigger games being played that day, and was going to be an easy move for them. And then as long as the Orlando Stadium was still open on that other weekend, it worked out. So. It's actually kind of cool. We get a bye week in week two, but that's pretty cool as well. So and we're excited. I mean, we started fall camp earlier than everybody, and we're just ready to go now.
I was a little surprised, Bob. Don't mind telling you, when I was doing my research, that this is the first time the Canes and the Gators have played since 2013. I guess I would ask why.
Yep. Well, it goes back to the – they played every year for 50 years outside of 1 year during World War II. for 50 years until 1987. And at that time, Miami was just killing it. They were killing it. Florida actually was on probation and get, you know, in trouble and stuff. And I think the athletic director at the time decided that the one thing was is that Miami was filling their stadium twice a year, even though they were, you know, beating everybody. They were really filling their stadium twice. Actually, I should say once a year, because they played Florida and Florida State on opposite years. And the fact is that Miami needed Florida more than Florida needed Miami. And Florida was adding SEC games to the schedule. Back then, they were playing six games a year in the SEC. Then it moved to seven in the mid-'80s, and then it eventually became eight. So, and remember, we only had 11 games back then as well during the regular season. So it was a combination of things. Florida wanted more home games, you know, every year, constant. Basically, Miami needed Florida more than Florida needed Miami because of that reason, and therefore the series ended.
Talking with Bob Redmond, get ready for Miami and number 8 Florida this Saturday night in Orlando. All right, I've heard some conflicting stories regarding Felipe Franks, and is it true that he was demoted as the starter late in the season last year before kind of reclaiming that due to an injury in practice?
Well, you know what? It's one of those things that we knew, but we can never prove, because what happened was he got benched during the Missouri game last year. It was a horrible game for him, horrible game for the team. Florida totally stunk it up, and Missouri just killed Florida in Gainesville. And the next week, the word coming out of camp, you know, silently behind the scenes, was that you know, they kept saying, well, nobody's the quarterback right now. But the word was that Kyle Trask was going to get the nod. He got hurt that week, and so it never came to fruition, and Felipe started the next week again. So the next game was, I don't remember, there was a game, I think, before South Carolina, and then midway through the South Carolina game, Florida was struggling, but he just turned it on. I think he had a running play or two where he got hit, but got right up and popped up in somebody's face, and got some good yards, and from that point on, he just rolled, and he had his – you know, best five games in a row that he's had, and the rest is history. They won five in a row and finished the season, you know, 10-3 and top six or seven in the country, depending on the poll. So it was kind of a wake-up call probably for him. But, yeah, I think, you know, again, one of those things that we can never prove, but most people think he would have been benched for that game following Missouri.
So that's a setup question, Bob. And the part two is, what do you expect from the young man this year, especially knowing that it's his second year with Dan Mullen?
Yeah, I think the big thing for him is that, you know, he knows the system now. So it's only the second year, but, I mean, last year was only the first year. And, he went into it blindly. He really wasn't a great fit for it, but they made him fit. And he's athletic, but he's not really a dual threat guy. And this offense kind of wants, you know, Mullen kind of wants that in this offense. And that's the easy way to make this offense run. He's become more of that, even though he's really not that. So he's a willing runner, is what they like to say. You've got to be willing to do it. And he's learned that. And I think that was the big wake up call that he had. I expect him to have a good year. The one thing that about this team and this offense, and actually it's the defense as well, but, you know, the offensive line has to be replaced. Four out of five starters are gone. It's not necessarily a young line, but it's pretty inexperienced. Very few starts among the starters outside of center Nick Buchanan. But all the skill positions, the top six receivers return, the leading rusher returns, and you have two other guys that have ran the ball a lot. The tight ends are new, but when you have that many guys returning around you and you had some pretty good success, he threw 24 touchdowns and only six interceptions last year. So when you have that kind of a success and then everybody's back, you got to expect him to do better. And again, you know, the big question going in all off season and up until now, until we actually see it, has been the offensive line. And we'll see, you know, what they've done so far on Saturday night.
Our guest is Bob Redmond, Swamp247.com. We're talking Gators, Canes coming up this Saturday. Give me a taste for that Florida defense, the strong points, and maybe where it's a little bit more of a question.
You know, they're pretty solid all the way around. I guess you'd have to say it's kind of a tricky answer in that the starters in the secondary are the strength. I know LSU's got a great secondary, but I find it hard to believe that somebody's going to have a better pair of corners, and LSU would be the team if there is one, but it's hard to think of a better corner combination than C.J. Henderson and Marco Wilson. Now, Marco missed. He played in the first game and started last year. Started every game as a true freshman in 17. Started the first game and the second game, and then got hurt in the first series of the second game last year, ACL tear, and missed it all. But he's back. And Trey Dean, who started in his place, was moved to the nickel to take over for Chauncey Gardner. But that secondary, the starting secondary, is really good. The starting defensive line is really good. And the linebackers, you know, I don't think they're flashy at all, but they're definitely solid. And Reese is a three-year starter and even started some as a true freshman. He's a fourth-year player. So they have a really solid defense. I think they're going to get an excellent pass rush, and I think they have a really, really good secondary. The problem in the secondary is the depth. They've lost four corners in the last 2 years that would be around the play this year. Three or four dismissals and then one transfer of his own volition. That's the problem right now. In the secondary, there is just hardly anybody behind the starters, and there's three true freshmen are the next three up at the cornerback position.
Hey, all I was going to say is Saints fans are thrilled about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, so thank you for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a true athlete. He's very outgoing as well, but he's certainly an all-around athlete and can do a lot of things.
Looking forward to the game this weekend. 7.5-point favorites last I saw for Florida. Does that sound about right to you, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Florida has a new offensive line, but I think Miami's missing some pieces up there as well. And so I got to give, as far as their defensive line, I should say, I got to give Miami a little bit of the edge there. But I think Florida has a much bigger edge on the other way around, where Florida's defensive line against theirs offensive line. Florida should have the edge at quarterback. You know, Miami's touting their receivers, but I think Florida's receivers are, you know, top three in the SEC. I already told you about the secondary. And I think, Miami's linebackers are top five in the country. There's no doubt about that. If they have a strength on their team, it's that position. And I think Florida's running backs are better. I think Florida all around, almost every position, is better than Miami. I certainly give them the edge at linebacker, although I think Florida's are pretty good.
We're now officially less than 4 days away from the Canes mm-hmm. and the Gators. Bob, thanks so much for the preview. We enjoy your coverage. Look forward to following that game with you.
All right, Ben, thanks for having me.
That's Bob Redmond, swamp247.com. I'll make one point, and he said it there. There's some pieces missing on that Canes D-line that may ease some of the pains Florida's having on their O-line. One of the biggest, Gerald Willis. Yeah, you remember what I'm talking about. Edna Carr, star guy that started his prep career elsewhere, ended up with the U, and was awfully good last season. Our pleasure, again, in the 6 o'clock hour, to be joined by David Merrill. He's going to tell you all about what's going on here at Musson Patu Buick GMC. And, David, that's the pre-Labor Day sale.
Thank you. Yes, we have a pre-Labor Day sale here. We're bringing people in left and right. The new truck is selling like hotcakes, man. I tell you, man, that truck is awesome. This is the first time I've seen the new GMC sell right out of the door from day one. With that tailgate, man, it's awesome, man. They're buying it like crazy. Tell you about the specials we got going on. Buick has a good special right now on the Encore. Excuse me. It's a little small SUV, very comparable to the RAV4 and also the CRV, but it has a lot more features. 8-way power seats on the driver's side, signals in the mirrors, rims, not hubcaps, nice size screen, with Android and Apple CarPlay. A lot of features for a little amount of money. That's right. We got great sales on it right now. We got going for $17,947. MSRP is around $25,000, somewhere in that range. That's a good deal if you want a nice little small SUV that's very economical. And getting back to the GMC truck again, a new truck has features in it that come out of a SUV. Now we have air-conditioned vents in the back seat. The vehicle is a lot more huge in the back. You also have heated seats in the back seat now, also as an SUV feature, and also a lot of USBs more in the back than you had in the front. The vehicle has a lot of other features that they didn't have on it before. Auto stop, which is very good, another SUV feature. You know, you have so many features on this vehicle, man, it's just crazy when you see the technology that GM has come out with. We have great deals on those right now, too. Denali and SLT, we got going for $13,500 off of the MSRP. That's right, $13,500 off of the MSRP, and that includes loyalty. Now, the loyalty, you have to have a 2005 or newer GM, Chevy, Buick product, and you get all of the rebate money. Just bring us a copy of the registration if you don't want to trade. Also, we have the same deal going on some of the SLTs and some other vehicles. Good money going on the double cabs right now. Also with loyalty, some of them without loyalty, okay? And also you have the Conquest Cash going on right now too, and the Conquest Cash is on a non-GM product, meaning that you don't have to have a GM product. It has to be a 2005 or newer non-GM product to qualify for the Buicks and the Encores. And just come check it out. We got some great deals going on. These trucks are flying out of here. We're having a great month. Come see us. We have a lot of salespeople ready to make you happy. You can even dial in. You can go to the website, look at our inventory. Just come see us, and we'll definitely make your car deals and your car dreams come true. Thank you.
It's the pre-Labor Day sale at Musson-Pontoo Buick GMC, and if they can't make it out the rest of this evening, you'll be back open tomorrow beginning at?
At 8:30 in the morning.
There you go. Come
ready
out
to make a deal.
Get your vehicle while you can. We'll hit our final break of the program. Coming right back for more Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Barry, and having fun on a Tuesday on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Coming down the home stretch on this Tuesday, August the 20th. Don't forget, we got Astros baseball. They're taking on the Tigers live from Minute Maid Park, an opportunity to go after the 82nd win of the season. 7:10 first pitch, Astro launch. Your pregame show with Sparks and Ford begins in about 14 minutes. Clint, it is with the utmost sadness that we need to address something before this show comes and goes. We've been talking a lot of college football today. You'll recall yesterday, we gave you the news that Blake Anderson, head football coach of the Arkansas State Red Wolves, was indefinitely kind of stepping away from his program. It was understood that was due to his wife Wendy's longstanding battle with cancer. Incredibly sad again. Regret to inform you in case you haven't seen it yet, and we want to express our great condolences. Wendy Anderson was pronounced dead this morning, and so the Arkansas State family mourns. The Cajuns, everybody in the Sun Belt, and frankly, everybody around college football. I told you yesterday just who this guy was to me in very, very brief kind of windows and vignettes. Basically, once a year for the last 3 to 4 years, I've seen him for about 5 minutes and interviewed him and spoken with him at the Sun Belt Conference Media Day. This year, I knew something was a little different. Just due to the health of his wife, Wendy, it was a pretty public subject and understood. And there was a moment, and I didn't say this on the air yesterday, I guess I'll say it right now. I'm just telling you exactly what happened. I was at a point where I was in between Billy Napier and Blake Anderson, who were talking to one another, and then the kind of Sun Belt Conference Network little stage that they had set up, right? The TV type of booth where they were interviewing the coaches, and it was Blake Anderson's turn at the booth, and those are things that they don't wait for you on, right? It's some live TV they're shooting there and live stream, so you can't exactly be late to it. And they were searching for Blake Anderson, and I went to kind of, you know, as guys will do, razz them a little bit. Hey, man, they're looking for you up there. You got to get out of the job and that type of thing. Yeah, okay, not a funny moment, Ben. He and Coach Napier were in the midst of a fairly serious conversation, and I think now with a little bit of retrospect and hindsight, I understand what it is they were talking about. Don't get me wrong. Coach Anderson was very cool about that moment, as was Coach Napier. But you understand that for these guys, it's a coaching fraternity. And in that moment, again, with hindsight, it's very clear to me that Coach Napier was getting an update in between both of them taking their times at the podium, then the TV booth, and then the individual breakdown interviews, like ones here on this program I'm doing right now. That's a whirlwind day for those two men. And so they were taking time to kind of catch up on that front. And I could tell that there were some pleasantries being exchanged, and Coach Napier was very genuine and wondering what was going on with Wendy Anderson. And Blake was great to me that day. I interviewed Coach for about 5 to 6 minutes. You know, he doesn't know me from Adam. Again, he gets me for 5 to 10 minutes every year, once a year. And he asked me about my life and wanted to know, okay, you're married. Okay, how are things going with you and your wife? And so no matter what was going on back home in Jonesboro, he was somebody always very good to me. And I look forward to seeing him again on the sideline and at events like Sun Belt Conference Media Day whenever that time is right for him. But I know this. I can't imagine what he and his family are going through right now. So our deepest condolences to the Anderson family, to Arkansas State, and certainly the Raging Cajuns, sending a lot of thoughts and prayers in that direction. Clint, I know this is something you and I talked about off air a little bit yesterday, so I wanted to bring a little more of it to the show today, especially in light of the news, but just incredibly, incredibly sad.
It really is, and just seeing the outpouring of support in the Blake and the Anderson family over the last 24 hours once the news kind of came out from the athletic director yesterday afternoon about him stepping down and becoming taking leave of absence. And now we kind of it felt like maybe it was just going to be an inevitability based off of the wordage of it. You were going to wind up seeing him step away, but hopefully he winds up making it back to the sideline sooner rather than later, and he's able to grieve the right way. I feel like this was just it's sad all the way around to kind of hear Blake Anderson, but he had a great note up on Twitter saying that now there's a celebration heaven today because Wendy is finally home.
Unbelievable. I appreciate you sharing that. So I did want to make sure that we address that in the program today. It's been kind of a strange day, to be completely honest with you. Let off the program discussing what was reported to be a potentially armed intruder on the campus of LSU, and that's something that thankfully fizzled out and has been cleared since. The passing of Wendy Anderson, something that's weighing heavy on the hearts and minds of many in this area. But in between, we did have some fun conversations and some informative ones. Got to thank our guests today, Rod Walker with NOAA.com and the New Orleans Advocate, Shay Dixon, Go247.com, and my good friend, Hollywood Bob Redmond, Swamp247.com. He probably won't love the fact that I'm calling him Hollywood, but my man is who he is, and we appreciate him. We appreciate you for dialing in as well. We got an audition coming up on the other side, World's Shortest Segment. Before we get you 2 Minute Made for the Astros versus the Tigers, been a lot of fun today at Mustard Patu, Buick GMC in New Iberia. Come see David, Nathan, and company for their pre-Labor Day sale. It'll continue for the next week and a half. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
NBC Sports Radio Update starts now.
Tuesday.